thank you for starting with us on a very thunderous note, bringing us to remembrance of the fact that if we are to speak in your name, then we need to speak according to the stipulated standard as oracles of God. Open our understanding this morning in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, Pastor Austin has tampered with my delicate balance. There is a sequence in my lecture. So he went to class 4. He picked something. He'll go to class 3. He'll pick something. Alright. The Lord will help us. Now, let's see if we can tie up a few things that he touched without compromising the delicate balance of my progression. Amen. We have not reached there. We can't go there. But you see, the design of the temple. Are you with me? I hope you are not in a hurry now. I want us to flow. The design of the temple was such that it was built with wisdom. Built with wisdom to be able to accommodate human offices, angelic offices, offices of cherubims, and then also the office of God. That's the ideology behind the construction of the temple. Are you with me? Now, let me explain further. Now, if we are saying we are building to capture spiritual offices, that was what he was trying. You were too fast. Take a deep breath and try not to leave the altar. You release your AK-47 when you alight on the emphasis. You open too much. Now I'm confused. Now, that's the design of the temple. It was built to capture human and spiritual offices, priestly offices in their ranks and in their strata, as recognized from the perspective of heaven. Are you with me? Alright. I need to digress to give an example before we come back, so that I can explain some things about the oracle that he raised. Okay? Now, in my story that I told the other time, a young man went to the stream to get water. And while he was trying to get water from the stream, a spirit came out of the water and suspended in the air. And now, this is not fiction. I was one of the people that casted out the spirit from the young man. Alright, so we stumbled on this case on the field of mission. Now, you guys have been in Bagada, Obalende. Let's leave here and go to the woods. You'll find those kind of people. There are a lot of them around. And there are a lot of things you will learn when you begin to try to bring spiritual assistance to those kind of people. Now, so the guy went to the stream, and when he got to the stream, he met the spirit that came out of the water and offered to make him wise. And since he wanted wisdom, he accepted the offer. And before the Spirit could begin to educate him about the wisdom from the realm that he represents, he gave him alligator pepper. He said, take pepper, so that you can go high. Come into my pedestal. You are too flat on the ground. If I speak things from this realm and you are on that realm, it will not make sense to you. So he gave him pepper to upgrade his capacity, so that he can transcend. He can move to another energy level. Hallelujah. Then he gave him two instructions as to how to construct an idol. Now, the philosophy, are you still here? The philosophy behind an idol is that an idol is built to mirror a dimension that is in the spirit. You get that? Now, if you can mirror that dimension accurately, and that's the wisdom that the Spirit gave him, because that wisdom is common knowledge in the realm from whence the Spirit has come. But it is not common knowledge in our own realm. And so the Spirit came and gave him that wisdom for him to go and conduct that construction. So the idol, and there were three kinds of idols with specifications in each case. And there is a level of alignment that the idols need to be installed. If that alignment is achieved, and the prescription was quite detailed and quite strict and very rigid, not subject to upgrade. When the guy obeyed the instruction and then he was given an enchantment, what enchantment is the ability to communicate in demonic language. That's what it is. So given an enchantment, that if he recites this enchantment and this alignment is here and his position at this point, he'll be able to invoke that spirit. Now, it can be mysterious to you, but it's not mysterious actually. The reason why it is not mysterious is because the dimension in which the spirit operates, exists in the spirit realm, has been mirrored. So if you speak the language of the spirit, which is enchantment, the spirit will come into that place not knowing it changed realm. Again, that? Okay. Now, that was the technology that was used to construct the temple. It was constructed to capture angelic offices and to capture offices of cherubims and to capture the office of God. So, if that temple was to operate maximally, it would not be out of place for you to bump into an angel. Oh, sorry. Because his own office too is captured there. Now, so the temple was built to capture dimensions and offices that are not natural and to trap them into a physical location. That is what we call a shrine. You can't call something a shrine if a spirit is not in it. The shrine is an arrangement to trap a spirit in a mode that it becomes accessible. When you... You are not with me. Austin was speaking, I want to help you. Because I was taking notes while he was speaking. And I learned two new things that I didn't know before from his utterance. Hallelujah. But I won't say them here. I'll take it somewhere else where none of you is present. Are you with me? Now, so that's how the temple was built. It was built to capture those dimensions. And that's why it was elaborate. It took a prophet to go download the insight from heaven. So he built according to patterns that he saw in heaven to revelatory power. And the reason why he did that was that God was actually saying to us that we can actually trap his dimensions if we know how to construct, to capture spiritual things. Exactly. I tried to do this teaching some time ago, but I saw that you were not understanding, so there's no need to continue. Are you with me? All right. So it came to pass when Zacharias was offering incense in the temple in the book of Luke chapter 1, and he encountered an angel and he was surprised. You see, he did not understand the design of the temple. He was not supposed to be surprised. Because there are several churches, because of the way things are constructed, the construction, they have actually constructed and they have ignored the office of God. So it means that God, even though he intends to come, there is no construction to accommodate him in the setup that has been put in place. You are not with me? There's no place for him. There's only a place for a man. And so it's all you can see is a man, a bright man, a sharp man, an intelligent man. But there's no place for God. There's also no construction for the layout of angels and cherubs. So you will hear men, and then eventually you become like the philosophy of that man. And that's a wretched posture. It's a wretched outcome. It is an infamed outcome. Hallelujah. And so when these dimensions are captured, are you still here? All right. So what happened in Zechariah's case, for instance, was that even though the priest was oblivious of the technology that was captured in the building, the realities for which the building was built for still invaded. And you see, the angel that he encountered was an angel that was doing the same thing he was doing down here overhead. Because when the angel came to introduce himself to him, he said, "I am Gabriel that standeth in the presence of God." And this guy was standing in the... Now, there are issues of alignment I cannot bring here. There are issues of measures, issues of alignment, issues of dimensions that we can't touch here. Because it will still not make sense. It will just look like somebody that claims he knows the Bible, trying to show that he knows the Bible. If you check the book of Revelation and you see John had an encounter with Jesus, but he never shared his full encounter with any of the churches. The revelation he gave to the churches was synonymous with the challenges that the churches had. So revelation is not supposed to be discussed just because it is received. That's not the idea. Okay? Now, so stay with me. All of that illustration, the way the temple was built and all of that, is actually an illustration of how your inner capacity, the construction, your own construction, you, how you were constructed inside. Because you were constructed in such a way that, how many of you have seen a glove? Hand glove. Hand glove looks like a hand. Because the manufacturer intends that someday it will play host to a hand. Is that so? So when the Bible says we're created in God's image, we're actually created in such a way that the idea was that we'll play host to God. And so the construction that was done in your own life actually captures the office of God, not the office of demons. And that's why you cannot be 100% possessed by a demon. Because the space that was created, captured, the design that was constructed inside had the dimensions of God in view. There's no madman on the street there that cannot be healed. I'm trusting God that the time will come in our discipleship where the practical will be that we'll go around Lagos and look for a few madmen just to practice. Because your advantage is the madman, the design, the construction, was not to capture the spirit that has possessed him. So that accommodation is even troublesome for the spirit. There are movements the spirit will make, he will knock his head somewhere because the place was not designed for him. There's a house I stayed in Surulere. The ceiling, it was meant for short people. And then the man put a ceiling fan. I traveled, so my guys at home wanted to develop the environment by adding a ceiling fan. The construction was not for a man like me. And then the man put fan. According to them, they wanted ventilation. But eventually, the fan achieved much more than ventilation because of the initial construction, the initial design. Now, so God wants us to be his oracles. We are trapped. He's trapped in us. We'll determine the level of expression that he will have. I pray that God, I hope that God is not in prison in your heart. So he's talking about how God within us can gain expression. Articulate expression. Articulate expression. That articulate expression is what makes you the address of God. Okay? Did you get it to that point? Good. As an oracle, or an oracle should have the capacity to conduct an inquiry into mysteries that are captured in God. Now, if you are the priest that is in charge of the corridor where the oracle is domiciled, you should have the technology and the spiritual language to bring appeasement and to draw the oracle out of his inner chamber for him to be willing to utter words. Now, you know a snail now. I like it. I like that snail. And all of, I was trying for a long time to understand what to do to get a snail to come out as a young boy. I like the majesty of the snail. I also like the sensitivity of the snail, but I knew that something could be done to get the snail to want to come out. That delicate. And you see, you can't study a book and know how to do that. You need to study snail life and understand the life of a snail. Are you with me? Before you can get the snail to do an activity that is only peculiar to snails. If you are going to get the oracle to come out, the spirit of God to come out, it's you that is in trouble. He is fine. The snail is okay in his shell. You are the one that needs him to come out. There is a deliberate technology that must be adopted in order to be able to secure that which is embedded in God. Hallelujah. You know the act of divining. He spoke about the Urim and the Thummim. Those are tools for divination. Tools for divining. Tools for inquiry. Alright? And why is it Urim and Thummim? It means yes and no. Okay. Shall we go? If the light, they are crystals. If Shekinah should flow and it is a crystal that is white that gives light, reflects light, is indicative of the fact that God is saying yes. All of those technologies are built into your spirit. The difference between life and death many times is either peace or no peace. It's fine. Yes. And if you don't get yourself to come to that point where you master the signs. Meanwhile, what I'm saying now is just to tie up what my brother said. Right? I'm not... I also make a trip to Jos. Came to a bus station, paid money, entered the car, lost my peace, took my bag out, went to the counter, said, I'm no longer traveling. The man shouted, removed his shirt. Then he said, okay, you're crying. And the way I'm going to reward you is that I will not give you your full money that you paid for my trouble, for my paper, for my pen, for my life. You took some of my life. I'm going to keep this amount. I said, okay. The next bus was not loading. I entered. My peace came back. So I went back to him again. I said, now I've decided to travel. That time, he concluded I was mad. So he was very calm. The conclusion was that this guy is mad. So he was calm the next time. I made the payments. It's in Akwanga that the first bus, we met it empty. And the guys that bus, they were lovers of bread. They bought a lot of bread. The only thing that was in the bus that time was the bread they were scrambling to buy. Urim and Thummim. We have implements of divination. Tools with which we can use to conduct inquiries. You are taking us to class 4. So let's stop there. Let's stop. Let's go back to class 1. We started something yesterday. Huh? You wanted to thank me. I was praying for you. I was praying for you. Let's not go to class 4 now. If we don't follow the progression, it will be difficult for you to handle some matters. You are tempting me to now add prophecy. And that's something we'll use an entire weekend to study. Prophecy. Because on Emmanuel TV, they do some things, they call it prophecy. What they call that other TV? Prophecy. Don't be angry, oh. Don't be angry with us. Eh? No, please. Don't be angry. Listen to me. Listen to me. If we are technically wrong, that is, even if you are genuine and you are conducting something using the Holy Ghost, but you are technically wrong, it is dissociated from the nature of the spirit that you are of. The Spirit of God will soon stop sponsoring that activity, and another spirit will come and take over. So there are a lot of things that are not consistent with scripture, but it is raining in our day, and we need to take time to capture it very, very well. So I refuse to yield to the temptation of talking about prophecy, because that's what Pastor Austin has been. So there are tools of divination, tools of consultation that are built into the structure of the construction of that place inside of you where God is tabernacled even now. And every one of us has that equipment. And it's the Holy Spirit that comes to animate those operations and animate those functions. Okay, for instance. Are you still with me? For instance, the Bible says we have received an unction from the Holy One. What's an unction? And we know all things. By reason of that unction, we can probe into things and actually confirm their very nature. We can probe into things and know things by Him from whom all things consist. We can gain His inner testimony about things. Why can we do this? Because we have received an unction from the Holy. Those are tools of consultation. But that's not where we are in the lecture. The things that pertain to Moses that he was uncovering are things that are part and parcel of our spiritual structure in reality. All those things are illustrations that give us perspective about spiritual things that are hidden within the depths of our faculties in the now. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when he was talking about the shrine, there are actually technologies we can use to trap God into physical places. I know you don't believe that, but that's quite advanced. There are things you can do in your bedroom and an angel will be trapped there. And if a normal person goes into that bedroom, the person can scream and run out. That may not happen every time though, but it can happen consistently enough for people to know that there is something there. There are things, just like you can do something in an office, bring something into an office and a demon is stationed there. You can sit on a seat and become crippled. There are also things that can be done that you can bring a presence into the office. And that presence begins to regulate the office. If you understand the dynamics of priesthood, who told you that you are powerless? We are just ignorant as a generation.
Adequate discipleship was not done for the past 25 years in the body of Christ. We are far behind in heaven's technology. And I'm not saying it boastfully. I'm saying it with tears. So the reason for which we are doing, because a lot of people question this caption. Some pastors wrote, I said, does it mean that if somebody attends your meeting, he now comes out a prophet? So I was, you saw my response to that on Facebook. I was cool enough to. This is what we want to achieve. It's not as if we are trying to blow a trumpet or to make people feel that we are the most accurate people in the body of Christ. No. A dispensation, a season is upon us. And there are people that God was working on their lives before this season. It will be tantamount to flesh for them not to come out now to give perspective to the things that God has dealt with them about in the closet. That's why we're here. We have not come to reign. We came at God's instance so that the least among us can become as strong as David. Alright, let's continue from where we stopped. I forgot again. There's something you said. That one will lead us to prophecy, so we'll not go there. We can't talk about prophecy now. Oh, this temptation is much. Hallelujah. So we will not yield to what Pastor Austin wants us to do. We refuse to yield. Jesus' name. Amen. Alright, walk with me. So we started yesterday on the basic things that we need to do in order for us to deal properly with a spirit personality, with a view of mastering the ways of that spirit. If you have never been in marriage, you may not know what it takes to manage a woman. I remember during our courtship days, I like mango trees a lot. So if we sit on that mango and we are just me and my wife, she was sister dinner then, I loved it. Mango tree. It was as at a dam. We went to a dam. That's why I proposed to her. I like art. I like wonder. The wonder of creation. Jesus. So every time we go to that city where that dam is, I say, okay, let's visit that place. Amen. But if you have never lived with a woman, you don't know how to manage. You are a novice. Meanwhile, my courtship lasted for 5 years. Not by my own doing. My in-laws were still checking me for 5 years. In fact, they rejected me the first time. They said, no, you are not kind. Because they had fasted for so many years. I was like an AIDS victim. Black from the sun of the north. The only thing fine in me then was my spirit. I could discern. And those days I was a mixture of the Old Testament and the New Testament prophet. So we still had I subscribed to the policies, the training of the old prophets, the one they taught us before, that you should not smile in public. So I was always in discerning mode. But when I got married, I found out all those things don't work there. They don't work there. So, if you have never been in marriage, sorry, you don't know a woman. Maybe you met one here, you slept with one there, you discovered one here. That's not knowing a woman. By the time you decide to ignore your rights in order to stay in covenant with a woman, there are layers of the woman that will be coming out. Not those acts of sin that does not carry responsibility along. That one is, it will reduce your chances of knowing a woman. It's when you now come into commitment and you have bound yourself by covenant to a woman that you can now begin to, okay, if I do this thing, we'll have trouble in this house. So you adjust. Okay. If I want her to pray and I try like this, she would decide never to pray again because she has her own mind. Okay, that one doesn't work. Okay. Holy Ghost! Then he said, why are you coming now? You would have asked me since. Sorry. You will know how to pray. If you want it to work, you will learn how to pray. How to consult. Hallelujah. I mean the best of women. The best. You are not with me. The what? The best of women. And then it happens to be that your calling, your purpose, your destiny is actually from the spirit realm. It's spiritual. A mortal cannot master it. So, she may not even know how to help you in that unique thing that you are called. Except God begins to help her. Yeah. Hallelujah. But if by any means you pass the test, the kind of support you will get from that woman, you will now find out why God made them to be submitted to us. They actually have more potential than we have. Although you will not know. But I can show you from the Bible anyway. If you need a reference for that. They actually have more potential. And if you are more powerful, God will put you more under subjection. Yes. He will put you more. He will subject you more. I don't want to go into scripture on that matter. Check it. Secret services. The world over. The best agents in secret services are women. Best pilots on this earth, fighter pilots. In Israel, 90% of their fighter pilots are women. It will take you time to master the art of bringing a woman into conformity with purpose. And that's a wife I've married for 9 years. All right? We celebrated, 8 years. 8 year anniversary last week. I didn't even know the date. Woke up, saw something. My father-in-law. I said, not true. I don't keep dates. I don't keep names. That's my limitation. You will always be weak. And there's an area of weakness that the Holy Spirit will not help. So that you can look upon it and remember how he took you from the sheepcote. May the Lord give you another. I said that one for somebody. There's a weakness, he will live with you. If you pray for help, you say, my grace is sufficient. My grace. That one will remind you of the sheep coat. That's what you were good for. The best of you was for the sheep coat. Then I involved myself with you, and so you will leave that one. May the Lord give you understanding. All right. So, where was I? 8 years. As determined as I was to have the perfect home, it took 5 years for me to gain mastery of what it means to live with a woman. Yes. Don't you, all those things they tell you that, would you have never quarreled? It's not true. Because she did not grow in your family. And you, that your brothers you grew up with, you fought many times. You had the same governor, the same tutor. But opinions were different. You have misunderstanding. It took 5 years before the harmony began to come. That's a human being I'm living with. Now, you want to master a spirit that has come from heaven. Come from where? His ways are in no way like the ways of men. In fact, everything that he does is contrary to humanity. Because God's intention and God's idea about you is not humanity. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High God, but ye shall die like men. God's idea concerning you is not mortality. It's not humanity. In fact, mortality is a curse. And so he comes to teach you how to live like you ought to live. And it's going to be different from the perspective that you have captured in your mind. There is no way you can say you want to walk with the Holy Spirit and you are not ready to risk a change of paradigm. He's bigger than your thought, bigger than your thought life. So many times it will take you beyond your thought life, beyond your expectation. That's the aspect of him that is pala, wonder. He can do immeasurably, abundantly, above that which you can ask and even that which you can think. He brings a part, a possibility that is very, very alien to your human context. This is the person we need to master. But you see, even though he's a spirit and he's invincible, it's easier for you to master him than to master your wife. Because there are infrastructures built in the environment of how he wants to relate, that if you can get it, it sticks forever. Alright? So we saw one yesterday. How that we need to acknowledge our what? Inadequacy. Now, by design, we're built to be limited, disadvantaged. And that was intentional. Because it is only a spirit that can complete us. So the intentional infirmity that was built into your physical frame was in view of the fact that God expected that when you come under pressure, you will run to the spirit that completes you. And the Bible says the spirit of God helped what? My infirmity. You'll be reaching out for the spirit of God once it has come to you as a revelation that you are handicapped. You will use your knowledge from Harvard, your knowledge from Oxford. Hallelujah. I hope you know, the problem of Nigeria is preaching. There's this economist I like so much, Bismarck Rewane. I want to meet that guy, he's wonderful. But you can make Bismarck the governor of CBN. And the naira will still be plunging low. It's not about how to analyze. But he's brilliant. He's wonderful. I like him. Hallelujah. You need something more than learning to administer. Are you with me? Yes, administer the office of the resurrection and the life. You see, it is the resurrection and the life that Nigeria needs. Rejuvenating spiritually based rejuvenating power and essence to bring us back to life as a nation. And only people that have access to the oracle, access to the wisdom that can be sourced from the belly of him that is the resurrection and the life that can infuse life to our dead system. Take more than learning. And until you have come to that point where you have acknowledged your infirmity, you are going to have a problem. You will not be tuned to the Holy Spirit frequency. And when pressure comes to you, the first point of call will be a physical attempt on the strength and at the expense of your carnal abilities. That mode of operation is not consistent with heaven's expectation. For we are the circumcision that worship the Father in spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus our Lord, and we have judged and have concluded that we have no confidence in the flesh. You are aligned to spirit interference when by revelation it has come to you that I can no longer have confidence in the flesh. Now, you see, are you with me? Most of us will not submit, all of us won't submit to the Holy Spirit. Are not likely to submit until you are conquered. And that's why in some of his dealings, pain is part of the process. There is a positive reason for pain. And I'm not talking about pain that is superimposed upon a man on the account of witchcraft and wickedness. I'm talking about pain that God is aware of, but he allowed to come into your life, which if you bind it, doesn't respond to your binding, because it has, that demon has a right, he has ticket from heaven to do that thing that he's doing for a season. He has authority from the source from whence your own authority comes from. Oh, you don't believe that is biblical? Okay, Satan went and received authority to plunder Job.
And God knows that Job needs some plunder for him to come into full alignment. He had philosophies that were contrary to the perspective of God. And it happens to be that God is good always. But he happens to be a righteous judge. He is many things. Eh? Baba is many things. So he gave allowance to the devil and gave him limitation. That limitation now keeps the devil's ability contained such that the best of his vengeance can only work out God's wisdom in this situation. Have you heard what Joseph said? You meant it for evil, but God has turned it into good. Now, so it was evil that came, but evil pushed him into alignment with God, and he found God on the premise of evil. It means Satan helped him. Why do you think the Holy Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted? Okay, let's leave that. So there's a positive reason for pain. And sometimes in some of the dealings of God, he allows pain as a tool. And the demon that is administering that pain is giving restrictions that he cannot violate. Alright? Until you stumble on that aspect of Christ that you were supposed to find through prayer, supplication, coupled with thanksgiving. Then that aspect of God is furnished in your life. It is after you have had this experience successively that you know by experience and you know by revelation that the flesh should not be relied upon. That is when you become the circumcision. It means that that experience was actually put in place to circumcise you from every form of confidence in the flesh. You become spirit aligned. Acknowledging that the flesh cannot profit, so you are not looking forward to another occasion to seek help from the flesh. Is that clear? That's the first point. The second point is that our insufficiency, the knowledge of our insufficiency, is supposed to sentence us to what we call the life of prayer. What did I call it? Life of prayer. The life of prayer should be the natural result of coming to the understanding of the fact that I am limited. That is the philosophy behind my prayer life. That is the energy. That is the why of prayer. If you have studied your Bible critically in the book of Matthew, you see three whens. When ye fast, when ye pray, when ye give. Notice that those three things are not in ifs. If ye fast. He said what? When ye fast. He didn't say if ye pray. He said when ye pray. He didn't say if ye give. He said when ye give. He is expecting that you should give, you should fast, and you should pray. So, taking for granted that you know that you need to pray, to give, and to fast, when you are praying, add this code of conduct to the practice of prayer. When you are fasting, add this code of conduct to the practice of fasting. When you are giving, add. So he's taking for granted that we know that we were designed to pray, to fast, and to give. That was the mistake I made in my youth service year. When I came there and I landed in Kano, I said I came to pray, to fast, and to give. Meanwhile, I had not seen it from the Bible. So those are the three things I will do this year. And you know what? When I did it consistently, I entered into the mood. Now, when you walk out of this hall today and you reach the gate, say, oh my, for the rest of the year, I will pray, fast, and give. The three whens are not suggestions. That's how we're designed to operate. Now, so an acknowledgement of your inadequacy should sentence you to the life of prayer. That part and parcel of my existence, part and parcel of my daily life, part and parcel of my description is that I'm a fasting man I'm a praying man, I'm a giving man. That's my modus operandi. It is when you begin to make prayer a life, not an activity, but what? A life. When you make prayer a life, that's when you know the symptoms that find expression when your spiritual senses are activated. You will know when the Holy Spirit animates your spiritual senses and makes them receptacles. You will know what happens when you are quickened and advanced into another energy level in God, where you can access several things that you cannot access in the flesh. You will know when portals of access and when the ability of penetration is granted you, if you have accepted that prayer is a life that you are willing to live. Then the secrets that are bound in that corridor are revealed to you. You just pray in tongues. Don't worry, we'll do practical today if God permits. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Yeah. Don't worry, I'll not take your time. We'll just flow a little and then we'll go for break. While we're on break, you put your questions together. It's when we come back from break that if God permits, we can now go a bit advanced. A bit. But we'll keep running this course. When Pastor Gideon comes, he has his own template. When I come, my own course, the name of what I'm coming to do is the school of prophets. As I journeyed with God, I found out this is what I was born to do in God. You know, we teach so many things. Eh? We teach so many things. And as you teach so many things, you will now discover that your horn has a particular shape. There is something, an emphasis God wants you to carry at some point. It's not as if we'll stop teaching many, many things. We'll still be doing many, many things. But once and again, we'll provide platform for the expression of the unique texture of the horn that we carry, which is tantamount to the emphasis we perceive God is bringing to the generation He has sent us to through my own unique vessel. Now, He might have another emphasis that God is bringing through His Spirit to His generation at this point in time, and He has found it by reason of use. Okay? Now, so when He is doing it, bringing that dimension, and I bring my own dimension, you begin to see that equipping is taking place, because equipping cannot be done by an individual. We have seen a lot of ministries that came and they cloned everybody to be like them. Even the Nigerian army doesn't operate that way. The Nigerian army has infantry, it has military police, it has engineer, it has logistics and transport, it has ordnance, it has signal. You not train everybody to be an infantry. That's the wisdom of man. Sorry. That kind of a thing happens. God, cloning and covering are different. I saw a thief man the other day speaking like a Yoruba man, trying to dispatch a message because he comes from a church where the general overseer speaks with that accent. Meanwhile, the accent of a thief man, by reason of his tribe, is different from, is grossly different from that. But he had to align with that. Then I knew we were in the last days. It was a sign of the last days. That's cloning, that's not covering. You know, Jethro suggested that Moses should do division of labor. That's not what God did. What God did is division of spirit. I will take from your spirit and put on the guys that will come in front of the tabernacle, so that when 70 people are walking, it will look as if it is you walking, because it's the same spirit that I will release on them. That's what we call the technology of the baptizer. You know, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Bible says they were baptized unto Moses. That's the technology of the baptizer. It's one of the apostolic technologies that God is bringing. But I don't want to go there. That's class 5. I will show you who the baptizer is. Not the Baptists. But what? Right? Then I will show you who a psalmist is. I will show you who a guide is. I will show you who a custodian is. I will show you who a watcher is. I will show you who a warrior is. On how those thrones operate, then we can talk about the war of thrones and what happened in the book of Zacharias. Now, when we begin to build, that's advanced also. And I don't want us to come here, all right, and take back things that we can't practice. That's a waste of time, waste of resources, waste of AC, waste of sound, waste of money. Now, so we are going to be progressing. You won't know when we enter deep ones because you will understand it. And you will know how to practice it. It is in this practice that we will take over the grounds that have been conceded to the enemy. And that's the calling of our generation. We will take over. Yes, communism was stronger than Islam. It's fair. It was a concept that was built into governance. It was a political ideology that was impeccable. It was designed to shield man from God. But it fell. As strong as it was. It was the wisdom of a principality that coupled it together. Huh? It fell. Who told you that the spirit of the bond woman, the yoke will not break from our necks? It will break in our lifetime, I believe. It's a small thing for God to tackle. But if we are going to tackle it, it's not a war of one man, it's a war of a generation. So let that generation be discipled to be able to hold the sword and the spear. There's a hole in our armor. We need to go for checkup. May the Lord give us understanding in the name of Jesus. Alright, so the practice of the life of prayer. Accept prayer as a life. I'm sentenced to it. It's a judgment that God has placed upon me. I accept the judgment. Then you will not look for a location to pray. You pray in Molue. Oh, Jesus. Most of the insights I got it in Danfo, in Lagos. And I now discovered when I'm coming back from home, there is a place from work. There's a place I normally like to trek. You know why? When I'm hearing horns blaring, I hear God easily. So I like that as I go there. As you progress with God, there's something you'll find, what we call the God zone. You'll find there are some places you can hear God well. That was where Elijah ran to under a juniper tree when he was threatened. A juniper tree is like a palm tree, it's a broom tree. It's even worse than a broom tree, a palm tree in giving shade. So he didn't run there because of shade. He ran there because when he was young, that was where he found God. So when he was threatened, he went there. And guess what happened? He didn't even pray. He went to sleep there. An angel tapped him. The God, that was his God's. I don't have time yet. But I will tell you, if you walk with God, you will find some. God will want to make your walk with him interesting. So he will put some things that you will discover. And it won't work for anybody else. It's exclusive to you. But you need to know your own work with God and be a good student of your work with God before you can identify some of the things that God put in place in order to make your work with Him sweet. Is that clear? Yes, sir. So sentence yourself to the life of what? Prayer. Life of prayer. Let your first reaction to confusion, to pressure, be prayer. Let your first reaction, somebody threatened you in the office, don't worry, go home and take your prayer shawl and stay on that prayer point for 7 days. Stay on that prayer point for 12 days. If you sentence yourself to a life of prayer, you will learn what is called persistence. Can you give me Psalms 80 verse 18? You learn persistence. You learn persistence. How to persist. Especially if you are the one that is bringing the agenda to God. Somebody threatening you. It's not God that threatening. It's you that threatening. You are the one that is afraid. It's not God that is afraid. So you are going to join forces with God so that you can get God to comment about the matter. To accept the fight. If you are going to be doing that and getting results, you must understand the technology of persistence. But hold on. I will tell you when I need to tell you that. He says, so will not we go back from thee? Now, these guys are saying, we will not go back. I know you have not responded, but we don't have an option. Now, you have this same kind of orientation if you have sentenced yourself to a life of prayer. The thing for which you are asking God and seeking God, He has not responded. But you know there is no choice. You can't. There is no plan B. It has to be God, so you will not depart from Him. And then how does God actually galvanize you to be able to traffic in the Spirit? What He does is that He appears to you from the office of the resurrection and the life, and He quickens you. In quickening you, you enter into Spirit-enabled mode. Spirit-enabled mode. Your Spirit-enabled mode is what supports you with the Spirit-induced vocabulary to be able to communicate with a spirit being. So these guys are saying, we don't have a plan B. That is why we cannot depart from D. You know, for them to be thinking of departing, to consider the departure, is because the thing is hard. It's not lucrative. So there's always, oh boy, now like so will go be. And then after they think about that, they say, no. Okay, if we leave that, what are we going to do? We will not depart. It's only people that have actually sentenced themselves to a life of prayer that will sustain this position. We will not depart from thee. Quicken us, and we shall call upon thy name. Second thing you see from that scripture is what we call the prayer point. The prayer point. Now, the prayer point is not what you wrote down on the piece of paper to take to God. The prayer point is the point at which you have become quickened. That's when your prayer starts. So every protocol that you took before you arrived the place of quickening was not prayer. It was an attempt to involve a spirit personality in the venture. You arrive the prayer point when you are quickened. Oh my God, you are not with me. Now these are things you know, but I'm just putting it in perspective. And I want us to go slowly and not rush, so that you can apply everything that we teach. I've been teaching the Bible for years, a lot of mysteries. After 5 years of teaching, I checked my dear disciples. And I knew I was the one that needed help. Help to break the, make it life applicable. And for that help, I sought His mercy. Hallelujah. Amen. I found out that I am complex by wiring. Yes, I'm complex by wiring. Okay? So, if I take John 3:16, it will be complex. If I take physics, it will be complex. I'm complex by wiring. And there's nothing I can do about that. So, I now ask God for wisdom to be able to. So I have noticed that the prayer I've been praying for years, he has started helping me now. If not, I can teach. You know it is scripture and it is big, very big. You can't apply it. Then I discovered this is not ministry. No, I'm wasting people's time. Let's come back and break this matter so that people can come into this. The fact that God raises a revelatory person, it's supposed to be an advantage to an entire civilization. The Bible said the prophets were there helping them. Yeah. They were bringing their insight into help, to help people in a way that was consistent with their humanity. Are you still with me? Now, so this scripture reveals the prayer point. A true prophetic person must know when you arrive at the prayer point, when you are quickened, when the first consignment of spirit has been dispatched into your vessel. It changes your utterance. You will notice it in your utterance. Oh my. You are not with me? Okay. Let's go on. Number 4. The fourth thing we need to know is that the Holy Spirit is a king spirit. There are various categories of spirits. And it happens to be that the Holy Spirit is not the only spirit that exists. So many categories of spirits. But there are not too many king spirits. Now, in heaven, before the evil spirits that operate today, before they became demons, they are part of a system. And the system that they were part of, most of them, all of them, were service-based kind of spirits. The Bible says he maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. He maketh his angels spirits and he maketh his servants, ministers, service entities a flame of fire. Now, these are service line kind of entities. Now, because they are service line kind of entities, they can be, now that they are fallen, they still maintain some part of their DNA. So you can invoke them. You can call them to serve. They will come. So invocation is possible. Because those spirits in their original estate were service-based spirits. But it is easier to deal with a spirit that is service-based. Because it can be at your beck and call if you know how to summon him. Are you with me? It's more difficult to relate with a king spirit because you can't summon a king spirit. Can't invoke. A king spirit will come to your aid when he wants. Now, you will not understand why those guys made that statement. So will not depart from. Why? He has not yet come. But the people made up their mind that they will not depart. They will wait until he comes to what? To what? Quicken them. Meanwhile, all forms of quickening in this context can only be done by one spirit. For the Bible reveals it is the spirit that quickens. That quickening function is relegated to his own office. So these guys are saying, will not depart from you. Will not leave you. Because there will be temptations for you to leave. And it will be easier for you to leave if you don't know that the spirit you are dealing with is a king spirit that you cannot invoke. Anytime he comes to manifest himself, is because he has decided to show mercy. It is at his own discretion. That's why none of us knows how to know God. If in case you are accessing God, you are accessing God because by an act of his mercy, he has decided to put himself at your disposal. Oh, you are not with me. See, the entire layout of the spirit realm in which God is domiciled is designed in such a way that boasting is excluded. A man that claims to have encountered God and is puffed up and proud did not encounter him well. He is a newcomer in this school. The entire layout is designed to make you humble and to make you see that the flesh profits nothing. And to make you understand that in yourself and by yourself, you are nothing and you are capable of nothing. The entire landscape has that definition and has that design. Are you still with me? That's how it is designed. It is designed that way such that a true follower of God that has gained age in grace will now start becoming like God. His nature will start filtering into your system. And your humanity and the symptoms of the fall will begin to give way by his dealings. What he wants to achieve by you coming is that he wants you to eventually become like him, a partaker of his nature. And he has a lot of disciplines that he's going to subject you to. In trying to access him, he brings through the pipeline so many other things. And the bait he will put in place to keep you focused is that you need his help
So, and you can't find that help anywhere. So remain there. And that's not child abuse. It's not child abuse. It's dealing. The king spirit. You can't invoke him. I did prayer and fasting for 24 days. God didn't come. So I shut down the prayer and went about my business. 24 days. Meanwhile, we're taught in Bible school the almighty formula of accessing God. 3 days dry fasting. I stopped doing 3 days. It doesn't work for me. 3 days dry fasting. God won't speak. Doesn't work. The almighty formula doesn't work for me. So I don't run the almighty formula. My own takes time. Javelin. It's a javelin. It's not shot put. I just go on 70. I know that between 70 days, somewhere it will reach me. I'm a student of my own work with God. So I know that the 3 days therapy that they recommended was not for people like me. And the person that wrote that outline is not like me. He's not my relative in the spirit. So he gave almighty formula of picnic 3 days dry fast. Meanwhile, I don't like dry fast because it's against medical science. So I don't like dry fast. So I don't do dry fast. Just in case you are a king of dry fasting, don't stop. Your template is different. I found my own. So if you come here and say, I fasted 24 days dry, I will not, you will move me. Because I know how my vessel is. My own is not for dry fasting. You know, if our pastors would be truthful to tell us this kind of things, we would have had direction since. Me, my vessel doesn't agree with dry fasting. Every man must know how to handle his own vessel. The one that works for me is 6 to 6. And I can do it for 400 days. I can do it for 2 years. That one can it works for me. And I've discovered that if I take 70 days, somewhere within those 70 days, somebody is complaining here and saying, it's difficult to seek God's vessel. It's difficult for all of us. It's not an activity of the flesh. So you will never like it in the flesh. Oh, Jesus. But we will not depart from thee. We can't depart. Because we have been sentenced to that life. Somebody will take off like a tornado and say, this thing is hard. And you are gone. 10 years, you will still come back. And you will come back like Naomi. The options are not many on this matter. They are not many. We will not depart. So forget about the tie. That's not the ministry. Don't desire it because of the tie. The, what they call that thing? Pocket square. If I'm on boxers here, boxers, it won't affect. Maybe one day we'll go and look for combat shots and just... We won't preach better. This is bondage. We are Africans, for God's sake. So don't tie it to a look. No. Don't tie it to a look. When I start preaching on crusades, I'll go with Babari, the type, the gambari from the north. That's what I'll be wearing. Just because I want to say I'm African. That's what it is here. The deposit I'm carrying came from this place. That's the reason why I like Idahosa. The Abada war was trade, it was a trademark. Just know that it was not in Ohio I met God. I met God in the woods of Benin. Yes. And the way we met him is as raw and radical as I am. I'm not just carrying oil, I'm carrying crude oil. He was functioning with crude oil. You have to be a student of your work with God. I found that 3 days dry doesn't work for me, so I go 70. Somewhere in between, he will come. It is only one time in my life that the day I started a fast, that was the day God answered me. One time. And that's an exception. It was because, you know, it was those carnal people. They were fasting and praying, and they said, this copper that you brought to teach us the Bible, he has gone, and we have not fed. We are still hungry. Bring that copper. And they had fasted for 23 days before I came back. So when you now wanted to start fasting that first day, the angel now came and delivered that message. Some of them, two of them are here. Two of those people that bound themselves with fast in Kano, they're in Lagos now. I've seen at least two. Hallelujah. So that was the first time in my life I had an answer, the first day I fasted. And it's not normal, because I investigated it and I saw there was backup. But if it's generated, if it's system generated, if it's personally generated, I have seen the pattern. It takes time for me. Because I have decided not to depart from him. There are many things. You see, you don't stay long enough. That's why you don't know anything. You just come and touch. Then you go back and say, ah! The flesh, you are still a slave. You are still a slave. Wake up and desire to do something deeper with your life. 70 days doesn't... 3 days. What's 3 days? I went to one place to work. When I saw the layout of the place, I fasted for 1 year. Not to go for crusade, to come to work. I know signs of witchcraft when I see it. The things, the tools. And then you now come to your office and see those signs. I took a fast for 1 year. And if you greet me good morning there, I didn't answer for 1 year. Until everything that was installed in that place was rendered powerless. God knows that we need power. And that's why he made provision for it. Are you still with me? If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
The King Spirit. Relating with what? The King Spirit. You will need patience. You will need perseverance. Keep knocking. Keep knocking. Keep knocking. I don't want to go to the book of... It will take us too far. We'll get lost in talking. Luke chapter 18. Verse 1 says, and he told them this parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, that is a prescription for men. You see, in the design of man, in order for man to operate optimally, there were prescriptions that the Godhead put together when they said, let us make man. One of those prescriptions was that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Okay? That is for men if they are going to operate optimally. And then a particular parable was dedicated to illustrating that fact. And the emphasis of the parable is the need for perseverance. And the context of the parable was a court session. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
Court session. Spoke about a judge that did not fear God, neither regard the presence of men. So this guy, he did not serve God, he did not serve men, but he was in public service. And this public servant only was in public service to serve himself. His only motivation can be self and self only. And then a woman that was a widow, in a society where widows were overly disadvantaged, had a case. And she wanted justice for against her avenger. The context is what? Court. Okay. You didn't see it. Let's leave it. At least you have seen the lesson he wanted to illustrate from giving the parable. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Okay. Listen. Brought the case to court. The judge, in his usual disposition, decided to give deaf ears to it. What is in this case for me? And when he found the case, and when he judged her prayer,
He knew that the case was such that had nothing for him. He relegated it to the background. But the woman kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. Then he now found a reason to give her justice, which is, with her continual coming, she will weary me. I hope you know he is a self-centered man. The only thing that moves him is when something will happen to him. So her persistence now put the judge in jeopardy. In jeopardy of sudden weariness. On the strength of that, he decided to administer justice to her quickly so that she will stop troubling him. That was the parable. And Jesus said, because this is the worst scenario, we have a widow without covering. The reason why it was easy for, and the reason why David, that did not kill to ascend the throne, had to kill to retain it, was that having gotten the throne and he slept with somebody's wife, as long as the husband is not alive, nobody will be there to press charges against him. Because his offense was a capital crime according to the law, and he was supposed to be killed by stoning. So he arranged for her husband to die in battle, so that there will be nobody left to press charges. Are you with me? And so that is the state of it. It is impossible, almost impossible, even if the king is righteous, for a widow to have justice. So this worst case scenario, widow and a judge that doesn't fear God, he doesn't regard the presence of men. So whether the woman was fine or not, was not a problem to the judge. The judge is, he serves himself. I don't know why that judge went for public service. Meanwhile, I'm not talking about judge because of what happened recently, DSS and all of that. Please, I'm not a politician. Jesus now said, haven't considered this context. Can you? Okay. I want us to read the words of Jesus. Go to Jesus' list. He drew some lessons. And the Lord said, hear what, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? The reason why he will bear long with you is because of what we call the secrets of wisdom. I don't have time for that. There are a lot of permutations that come into place before God comes to bring justice, judgment, and equity. It's not as straight as you think. A lot of things, variables, that are only in God's context. But the difference between the parable and our own situation, the advantage we have is that the judges are relative. So because these judges are relative, we know that even if he's tarrying, he cannot be against us. Notice that the Bible says, Sarah received strength to bring forth because, why? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. This is a woman that was confirmed barren as a teenager and had entered into menopause and did not judge God unfaithful, because she knew that the judge was her relative. And so Jesus said, the fact that I'm related to you, does it affect you at all? Is it an incentive to engender perseverance in the place of prayer? If it doesn't affect you, it means you have not yet begun the life of prayer. The life of prayer is predicated on your perception of the judge. That is the philosophy behind your perseverance. She judged him faithful who had promised. You, there are a lot of things that God has told you that you don't even believe, because you didn't even start well by writing it down. Your life is lived in limbo by the day. No, I know at least 5 years into my future at any point in time. Yes. We were in a plane and the plane was about to crash, and the person by the side called on the Lord. I told him, don't crash. I have seen how and when my exit will come. It's not today. So if they are shouting, you close to me, keep your car. We are landing. My destination is so and so place. When we reach there, we will come out of this place. I don't want to go into the details. Not today. Huh? It will not be by Boko Haram, by blight, by infirmity. What's your perspective of the judge? In my own opinion, he cannot be against me, because his thoughts concerning me are thoughts of good continually. Just in case he has not been able to reach to me, or I've not been able to reach to him, it doesn't affect who he is in my heart. I will keep pressing. Perseverance must, you need a strong psychology to persevere in prayer. Because demons of haste will invade your soul and try to operate your thought and try to bring God into discredit. But a man that knows his relationship with the judge cannot be taken by that little trick of the devil. He has the capacity to persevere because he knows his relationship with the judge. Hallelujah. So I need to ask you, what is your relationship with the judge? The king's spirit will come when he wants to come. You cannot invoke him. And it comes when it is suitable to the will that he wants to perform. And there are a lot of things in this economy that are too high for you to understand. And because you are dealing with someone that is so deep and so vast, beyond imagining and beyond understanding, you don't need to live by his explanations. You have to live by his instructions. The people waiting for explanations will not work with him. Because working with him doesn't make sense, it makes life. That's number four. Number five. Okay. Somebody will say, I didn't quote a scripture for the king's spirit philosophy that I just brought. Okay. The Bible says the Lord is that spirit. If you flip it, it means the spirit is that Lord. If it has not come to you as a revelation that the spirit is lordship, is king, you have a problem relating to him. Hallelujah. Because he is a king spirit. It can't be invoked. It comes because his mercy has implored him so to do. Hallelujah. That's our small hall. When we wanted to open the hall, we had a meeting like this and say, hey, we have a building now, at least a roof over our head where we can pray without paying money. After this service, we'll go and check the place out. So we now went there. I showed them three offices. This toilet space, this, that. Then we came into the hall section. And I said, okay, let's pray. And then somebody began to prophesy. And I shall bring them upon my holy mountain. Make them joyful upon my house of prayer. Their sacrifices and burnt offerings shall be accepted upon my altar. And my house among all nations shall be called the place of prayer. That's how we got the name of the place. Prayer tent. And then he called all nations. 70. He recommended, what I felt by that word nations there was the number of days we needed to fast to open the place. 70 being the number of nations, I declared a 70-day fast as the protocol of opening it. On the 24th day of the fast, leading, I didn't know where we built that place was the most notorious place in the city. I didn't know. How would I know? They were pitying us when we were buying the land. I didn't know. I didn't get it. The Baba of the area. It was a high flyer. No church survives there. So when we started our 70-day prayer, the guy must have tried a lot of things in the spirit and he did not succeed so much. So he wanted to come and see who the pastor was. So he came out of his chambers with his walking stick. Hey. Then, you know, My ancestors in the spirit, they pray kneeling down. But I tried that one, it didn't work for me. So my own, I stand, I roll around. My ancestors in the spirit, they pray closing their eyes. That one doesn't work for me. I will sleep. They say, Kai, you are not growing the ways of the prophet. It was not just my wiring. They wanted all of us to follow a mode. It wasn't working for me. When they were kneeling down, they were cutting in the spirit. Me, I was in the flesh, looking around. So I now discovered my own mode. I like walking with my eyes open. And there's no scripture in the Bible that says you close your eyes. Me, I don't even like it. People can do things in the natural. When you are, your eyes are closed. Let me checking both sides. Check the road. Check everything, my brother. And I was asked for that stuff. So among all the guys that were trained, I was the only one with that. When they are kneeling down, I go around. That was the one that worked for me. So I was moving the hall. Baba now strode and came. He knew by divination that this was a pastor. And probably must have seen me, a small lad. And I was still no weight then. You know, I'm large now. No weight then, so he must have despised me again in the natural. Then he tried to do something spiritual. So me too, I now stood. As Baba was standing, me too, I was standing, speaking in tongues. We were there for 45 minutes. That was Baba's last day of life. Baba went back home to sleep. Hey, I shall. That was how that place opened now. It was that 70 days of prayer. That's the one that was for me. He went back. He didn't need someone to carry him home. He still used his leg to go back. And he never came out again. The place was open. That 70 days of prayer opened that environment. But we did not know. Until I traveled to do crossover night somewhere. And I was in that crossover night. When I got there, because it's a place that people don't know me, so I'm comfortable with that kind of a place. I just wanted to be a believer. This pulpit, I was tired of pulpit. I was tired of preaching. So let me just go somewhere and pray with people in a place that is reputed for prayer. So I made a trip, came to a place. Began to pray. While I was praying, two ladies came. One fell on my leg here. Not in the dream or in the physical. And they began to cry and groan. They groaned for like 1 hour, 10 minutes. They didn't greet me. They just came, held my legs, and began to pray. I timed it. It was 1 hour, 10 minutes. And when they finished, they put their veil and they left. We didn't greet. At 6 a.m., they called me from that our building. And the place was on fire. That's where our keyboard burnt, our amp burnt, my mic. Jesus. You know, when I came from the woods and started preaching, they say, Pastor, you need a mic. Then when I hold the mic, I hold it like this. Because I don't know. I didn't need one in the bush. So it's okay, don't worry. We cannot help you with coordinating it, but we'll give you a mic that even if you are holding it here, it will be working. They went and got that mic. I don't know where. It's a German mic. That mic got burnt. The fire came by 12 midnight. I was growing. By the time those ladies held my leg, that was when the fire came. It was the prayer of those two ladies that saved that building. Are you with me? But you know the testimony. The testimony was that we had closed for the year. All the equipments were disconnected from the circuit. Where the fire came from was unknown. It was the people around where the building was that broke the burglaries and entered the roof and quenched the fire. And then they called us that they had put out the fire. And then they said, the church, we come pray. Where will they feel sleep? Now one born. Our church one born. These people always talk say our church, but they never visited that place before. But when we did that 70 days prayer, the thing that was oppressing these people was lifted. That was how that building was saved. By the hands of people that have never attended service with us. It was perseverance that began to renovate the atmosphere. We can change Nigeria. We can change it. The thing is that believers in Nigeria, they are like milk. They get spoiled with time. But believers are supposed to be like wine, getting better with time. If you put a believer through the test of time, he's likely to fail. Because he doesn't understand, his psychology about the judge is defective. And so he will not be able to sustain perseverance. Meanwhile, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Amen. I think I need to read the scripture. John chapter 6 verse 36. Don't worry, I will soon shut down. But stay with me. Stay with me. When we come for the next session, after you have refreshed yourself and all of that, and we come for the next session, that's a session that includes the practicals. So, we will demonstrate a few things as the Holy Spirit helps us. Alright? We'll do some demonstrations as part of lecture, not ministration, just as part of the lecture. And in every school of the prophets meeting that we come for, we'll be doing demonstrations as part of lecture. So that, and I will tell you how several spiritual signs can be articulated, can be understood, and how to function with them. Are we there? John. 63 now. John 6:63, please. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profited nothing. The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life. Now, this is how God is going to respond to you. God will respond to you through words that are spirit and life. And I need to introduce us. This is the first layer of feedback. There are many layers of feedback that you receive from God, but this is the first layer of feedback. Words that are spirit and life. Because the third caption on my script is understanding spiritual language. Words that are not Igbo, Yoruba, Hausa, but words that are spirit. Words that are life. That's what I mean when I say there are some things in God that doesn't make sense. It only makes life. The first among this kind of words is what we call peace. Peace. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication coupled with thanksgiving, make your request known unto God. And the peace, feedback, peace. That peace is actually the inflow of your spirit measure that detonates the influence of anxiety. That is the involvement of the measure of God with your vessel that makes you delivered from the manipulation and control that anxiety would have had on your life. That's a feedback mechanism. The peace of God is one among the languages of the spirit. That one you know. Peace. Peace can be a sense of approval. Peace can also be a drug, a capsule against the possibility of anxiety. These are words that are life. Are you with me? We saw yesterday how God makes statements. And the purpose of power from the perspective of the immortal realm. We saw it yesterday. We saw it yesterday. Right. Now, so how does the spirit realm make statements? How does the spirit realm make utterances. Now, when the spirit realm wants to make an utterance, they actually conduct a manifestation of power. That manifestation of power has a meaning. If I, by the finger of God, cast out devils, the meaning of this is that the kingdom of God is with you. Huh? So that peace, the wisdom of God, the will of God, is captured in the move of his spirit, the moving of his spirit. That's where the mind of God is. So when the spirit of God is moving in your heart, it means God is speaking. It will take inner, inbuilt, default mode discernment for you to probe into that movement and now detect the reason for the motion. Holy Ghost doesn't move like that. But if he is moving, it means God is speaking. So we must understand words that are spirit. Words that we sense that it is imparting life to us. Have you ever stumbled on the scripture? When you stumbled on the scripture, you felt an effusion of life in your spirit. Yes, that's communication. It means something's been communicated. But you see, when it's a scripture that is placed upon your heart, you know what the move it was about. It was saying what the scripture was saying. But there are communications that are, I'm talking about non-cognitive communications. Are you with me? The first layer of feedback you will get from the Holy Ghost are non-cognitive communications. One of them is peace. And the fact that there is peace in your spirit, you need to know what that peace means. It's a movement of God. The will of God is trapped in that movement. You sense it in form of life, but it's actually speaking. Now, many of us are not diligent enough to understand little movements in the spirit. You are waiting for God to begin to speak to you in the language of your thought. 70% of the speakings of God are not in words. They are not in words. They are in form of life. They are in form of movement. They are in form of spirit. Are you with me? Now, it is those movements, I'm trusting God that in the second half of this service, I will show you that, okay, this is the movement I'm feeling now. Because once Mr. T begins to play, I will lose the ability to teach. The prophetic will open. Are you with me? Then, in the prophetic spirit, I can now begin to show you things. And please let it be known that the reason for which we are doing this is to teach, not to show that we are superstars. Because if you meet us when we are not under the enablement of the Holy Spirit, you will see how unuseful we can be to you at that time. May you not have an estimation of us that is different from what we really are. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. So, you need to understand what the peace means. When I came, shake me now. And maybe the moment I shook this guy, I had peace. That's the communication. But don't think you know what it means. You need to go and probe into it and find out what the great one was communicating in that peace. You are not with me. I've missed it. I don't want to go too low now. Okay. I will go. I think we have a problem. The problem we have is we don't understand the difference between the spirit of revelation and the spirit of wisdom. The spirit of wisdom and revelation is what actually animates the written word of God and make it the living word of God. Right? Are you with me? Okay. Okay. Have you had a dream before that you could not explain? You had a dream. That's a revelation. But if the revelation came to you in a communication mode that is not in synchrony with your thought pattern, is higher and heavier than your thought load. That was why you could not decipher it through your mind. That's the operation of the spirit of revelation. Hey, are you with me?
Yes,
that's the operation of the spirit of revelation. And it's the spirit of wisdom that now applies it to your context. You get it? So if you have a dream, have you ever had a dream that you could not explain?
It means the spirit of revelation came to you. And it means that you are called, you are summoned to go seek the spirit of wisdom through intercession. That's what it means. Many of us do not understand words that are spirit, words that are life. They are not cognitive kinds of communication. They are non-cognitive communication. And you will master the non-cognitive communication before you can master the cognitive communication. The cognitive communication is easy, but it is standing on the foundation of the non-cognitive one.
Yes.
And the burden that is conferred upon you in order for you to accurately decipher non-cognitive communication is the burden of prayer. And so when peace came into my spirit on the account of my shaking a brother, it means the Holy Spirit is speaking. The spirit of revelation has gone to work. That is the reason why I can perceive that there is a movement. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
But you see, the movement is in a language that is spirit and life. That is not the language I am used to. So I need this communication to pass through a transformer so that it can come, it can be stepped down to a level that I can receive. So I go in search of the spirit of wisdom. That's his own work. To break down this high level esoteric communication that is I'm not suited for. So I go to pray. Go to pray. Like the day I met you. You know the meaning of this? Peace. But I had to go to pray. Find out. And then the spirit of wisdom came. And then understanding began to precipitate. It is the spirit of wisdom and revelation. When two of them walk pari passu, the resultant effect is that the eyes of your understanding is now enlightened. Did you get that? Good. So if what you received was orchestrated by the spirit of revelation, there will be no understanding until you go seek wisdom. When spirit of wisdom comes, he now does the step down and it quickens the eye of your understanding. It becomes enlightened. So don't just go home and say, I felt peace about it. Oh my God. That peace you felt doesn't mean that that guy is your husband. May Baba help you, Jesus' name.
Amen.
I've heard a lot of damsels say that I felt peace. That peace came, peace came. It might mean that you is your evangelism partner. Don't give it a meaning that did not come from the spirit of wisdom. I felt peace. Then you now make it mean what you want it to mean. You are going to dwell in error. And that's why people make mistakes, because they don't understand the language of the spirit. Words that are spirit. Words that are life. Hallelujah. I know you won't say amen again, because most of you, that peace you felt, you translated it to mean something. It's in places like this that we open the box and say, because where I made a mistake, I've made a lot of spiritual mistakes, and I will show you in the lecture. This is what I did. This is flesh. The name of this is called flesh. The name of this is called arrogance. The name of this is pride. And the specimen where all these things manifested is me. So don't do like this. Don't do like this. Don't do like this. I suffered this because of all of this. You can exempt this one from your life. It will not be part of your life. Because this one came, it was not part of the script. It evolved because I was like this. I will show you. The best way for you to learn is my mistake, actually. So where I missed it, I will tell you. So that you yourself will exempt yourself from that. But you can learn again by doing the same thing. Maybe your own lessons will be stiffer than mine. Your own will produce a book. Hallelujah. Words that are spirit and words that are life. So we have peace. Then we have burdens. a button. Have you heard of the peace of God that passeth all understanding? It's not cognitive, but it's a communication. A button is a communication. It's not cognitive. It's not cognitive, but effective communication has been done. And the most accurate response to a burden is prayer. Prayer. And that kind of prayer is not prayer you can pray to understand it, because you don't even know what the prayer is about. So you pray it in the spirit and with your spirit. And then at any point in time, and God is not under obligation to communicate to you the meaning of a burden. You are more faithful to a burden when you don't even know what it is. For people that are consistent in the spirit. Hallelujah. Because the moment you find out that the burden is about Pastor Austin, and you have been fighting with Pastor Austin for the past 6 years, you may not be motivated to continue. So, Baba knows our frame. He knows how we are. So many times it's better for you not to even have the details of some things. You will be more faithful. So a button is a communication. Stirring. A stirring is an animation for action. A stirring. These are languages. They are effective communications coming from the Spirit of God. Because you must understand that the source of this oracle is a spirit that we need to get acquainted with. Alright? Now, if God stirs you up, it means there's an action to be carried out. It's like stirring is like you are giving a garment to wear. You are clothed. You are animated. You are switched on for function. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
Amen.
Went for a home cell fellowship in Abuja. And I faced the wall and I was praying. And when I was praying, they brought a crippled lady into the hall, into the parlor, the sitting room of the house. Then I turned to the wall again. I began to pray. Then I felt stirred. Jesus. But that was the first time, because I've never prayed for a cripple before that day. So I now ask again, are you raising a cripple today? He said, yes. I said, no, maybe it's me that spoke. Are you raising a cripple today? Say yes, of course. Hey. We were still doing opening prayer. When I walked up to the lady, I said, Jesus said that you should stand up. So I heard her. She fell down. I said, Jesus did not say fall down. Jesus said, stand up. I heard her again. She fell down. I felt that bad. I said, no. Jesus did not say fall down. Jesus said, stand up. I heard her again. Then she put her hand behind her back so that if she falls, the chair, the fall will not be as bad as that second one was. Then I kicked the chair away. And I pushed her. And then she moved, and then started walking. Wait. I know you want to clap. You'll be doing that for the wrong reason. What happened to me was that I was stirred. And that was communication. But I did not know why I was stirred, so I inquired. Are you doing this? He said yes. So I knew the purpose for which I was stirred, because the communication was non-cognitive communication. She began to walk. She began to walk. And the more she walked, the more she walked better. The more she walked better. The more she walked. And then the home cell ended that day at that note. Because when I say amen so that I can preach, the women were crying. So I went and drove off. So that service was a service of tears. We ended with tears. And that was the will of God. Now, but I was activated for action. Alright? I was at the airport buying tickets. They were wheeling one woman on the wheelchair. And the same activation came. Then I stopped buying the tickets. Then I looked at the environment. I considered everything. I said, now here. Immediately I said, now here. The thing left. Now you need to be crazy. And you know what? After that experience, before I was stirred again to raise the cripple, it took time. So now I'm ready to do it in the market. Now, a stirring can actually be
can actually mean that a lot of power has entered your vessel. And if God gives you the meaning of a stirring once, a non-cognitive communication, it is most likely that what it will mean for you is that same thing all along. There might be once, just one time, where God will define what that non-cognitive communication means, and is expecting that as a good student of the Spirit, you should know what it means thereafter. Alright? Because there are a lot of communications that are in form of these ones I'm telling you now are communications in form of life. You feel it? And there are other communications that are spirit. Those ones are in form of science. And we are supposed to be able to read the signs actually. The revelation of Jesus which he saw to tell his saints the things that must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it. Sign language signified it by his angel unto his servant John. When the angel came to John, there was a communication gap. The angel used signs. He signified the message to John. Now, there are a lot of sign, those are communications that are spirit. A lot of sign language that God uses. I came to teach you a few that I know from the Lord. Sign languages and their meanings. Just a few. Maybe it will help you. It may not, but maybe. And I will operate on those signs. And you will see that 70% of what I do is not based on a voice I heard. 70% of what I do is based on signs. And every believer has signs. And every believer has non-cognitive communication in him that is a function of communication according to life. You will become a good prophetic person when you know how to read the signs accurately. If you are still with me, say amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right. I guess it's time to stop. Because of time. There are a lot of things that are about to be lost in our day. Huh? Okay, this one is directed at pastors, we pastors. Pastors, KG, every one of us here. You know those days in the 70s when there was revival? No, those the revival that brought all our fathers into the stage of ministry. There were things like singing in the spirit, dancing in the spirit, laughing in the spirit. You know, we are too mature for it now. If we don't bring it back, it will never be known that the Holy Spirit used to do that. And if somebody does it thereafter, they will use doctrine to kill the person. You know, Paul said, are you with me? It was Paul that spoke about the demonstration of the Spirit. That's not the gift of the Spirit. It's the Spirit demonstrating the fact that he has seized this vessel. Just like when you receive Holy Ghost baptism, there was a demonstration to confirm it. You spoke, there was an utterance that was spirit based. It's a demonstration. Oh my. It's a what? Hallelujah. Listen. When the Lord stirs you in a laughter, those days used to happen to me a lot. When I teach, I'll begin to laugh. And I've laughed like that, and demons came out of people. I just laughed. I used to laugh a lot before. And it comes by an unction. But it has stopped. Lord, that laugh. In fact, many people came years later to tell me that laugh, when they had demons in them, that laugh, they were afraid of that laugh. But that laugh, I normally laugh by the Spirit. And it has stopped now. I don't know what happened. Whether I've done something wrong, I don't know. I'll find out. But I like that laugh. But I don't have it anymore. It's a demonstration. Just like speaking in tongues, it's a demonstration of the Spirit. Of the spontaneous Spirit. So we'll go into that next session. There's something called demonstration of the Spirit. And there are other things called demonstrations of power. These demonstrations of power is not the gift of the Spirit. It's just demonstrations that power has come into this man's vessel. You know, he said, we shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come. The first investment is Spirit. And if you know how to deal properly with Spirit, a time comes where there is a release of an impartation through the Spirit for you to be able to function in power. Jesus was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. After the temptation, he came back with the power. Those are two different things. So the Spirit release that we have received is a potential. And one of the potentials capable of such a release is power. There are other things that should result from that deposit. And that's why we're teaching us how to relate accurately with the Spirit, so that you can realize everything that the potential of the Spirit has for you. So now it's becoming, we are becoming so civilized that we can't dance in the Spirit. Not because God is not stirring us to do so, but maybe we have a kind of service mode that abhors. Then it means we are not flexible enough. Because people need to dance in the Spirit again. There are times where the praise and worship in my spirit is so much that the only way I can help myself is to go on it. The dance may not look like a good dance, but that dance is making me yield properly to the vibrations going inside. I'm just manifesting because I'm possessed. That's what I mean. I've been trying to avoid that word. So it's a manifestation, not of me, but of the Spirit by which I become possessed. There is a man that claims to be a senior prophet in the city. Have you ever gone for his meeting and saw somebody laughing in the Spirit? Have you watched it on the screen? Somebody laughing in the Spirit. Those are demonstrations that confirm that it is the Spirit that is here. Meanwhile, when we finish doing Bible study about how to identify a false prophet, maybe you stop calling him prophet. You will never see that. You will never see people dancing in the Spirit. Because the place is never saturated with the Spirit. Meanwhile, in the school of the Spirit, I will need to teach you today that there is a difference between true and truth. Because that lady that was possessed with the spirit of divination, Python, what she said was true. So it is possible for somebody to be running on an economy that can produce something that is true. And I will tell you how to maintain your fountain. Because it's very easy for you to. Spirit is harder to damage, to manage than liquid. If water can be easily contaminated, Spirit can be much more easily contaminated. Because not only the Holy Ghost exists in the Spirit realm. So I need to show you a few things. There are things I need to show you. And there are basic things to keep you pure, keep you okay. If you pray consistently, the issues of sin will die a natural death. In my own opinion, holiness is not supposed to be an emphasis. Opinion. If we preach holiness long, it is because people don't know the Holy Ghost. And they are trying to live a holy life in the flesh. So when you see that holiness is a 25-year-old doctrine in the church, we're trying to, just like new creation realities is basic, discipleship is basic, the teaching of holiness is basic. I've offended you, Abby. The church in Nigeria came out like this because most of the people that taught in this church only taught the basics. We were not taught how to follow God. That's why we don't know. But we're taught holiness. If I go further, you'll be offended. So, and not today. I'm not ready for offense. The day we come for doctrine and balance, where we come with a chart, so that when we trace it, you can't deny it. That's how it is. I'm not ready today. With a map, a chart, I will show you what they preach from this year to this year. After Paul, it was Polycarp. I will trace it to today. You will see where all the false doctrines came from. I used 10 years in my life to study that thing. So when you are preaching, I know what age that thing came from. That error that you are trying to push. Even the ones that say they died and went to hell and came back with a message from hell. There were familiar spirits that they spoke for. Because even Jesus himself said they have Moses and the prophets. That if they will not hear Moses and the prophets, even if a man comes from the dead, they will not hear. God's way, he said, yes, I have a facility to minister to people side of heaven. If you have gone to the underworld, we don't need a message from the underworld to the world of living men. You don't like me. It has not ended. If I spoke from one scripture, it has not ended. Because at the mount of two or three witnesses, every matter shall be established. But by the time I start using two and three, if you don't believe in it, you are a rebel. And the fact that you have refused to believe in it will not make it a lie. It's just that you, we need to isolate you. Because Paul said, mark them for quarantine. For quarantine. You should be isolated for quarantine. Because if we don't have, if the Bible can't be our reference, then we are in limbo. The truth is not a relative pendulum, it is a fixed star. If we operate, if we have things we cannot change, the truth, we cannot change it, we will come into the unity of the faith. You come with the scripture, once you can bring two, three, I know this verse will I submit. You will see that the reason for which denominations existed will no longer exist. So it is not denominations we'll be running, we'll be running ministries. I'm not saying that KG will not be a pastor. He can pastor, but he is running a ministry, and he knows his ministry, and he knows that he alone cannot fulfill it. He will also find his tribe. So at every point in time, and in every city, and in every generation, we have council of elders, people that became brothers because of the spirit of revival. They are accountable to each other. So no one is a general overseer. So there are checks and balances at every level. When you find a general overseer, that he should go and start Black Ascot and be a capon. He wants to control how the jeans people wear and how they use the jeans. Go and be Viking Lord, not church. Because nobody plays that role except Jesus. So when you find men come and they are puffed up, they are coming from the manger. Don't worry, they slept on weed and grass. help them. They are, accurate discipleship has been lacking in our nation for about 30 years. So don't expect to go somewhere and the people are behaving well. No, not now. If we succeed, maybe it will happen. People become brothers in the spirit of revival. They can check themselves at that level because they were introduced to themselves not according to the flesh. They did not know themselves by the flesh, but the spirit. And you find a thing that the devil cannot subjugate. All of them cannot be deaf to God at the same time. Yes, sir. Yes. And then sons will be born in their own generations. Because to every generation is committed a dispensation. Then order will come back. Then just as 120 people were able to trap the Holy Ghost from heaven, draw the Holy Ghost from heaven, we can draw him and make him a Nigerian. That's how it is in Nigeria. We make the Holy Ghost an indigenous of our land. The closest to that ever happened was in the days of Babalola. But that is our past. We have something better coming. For you in our lifetime to come. We can't enter now.
There's no time.
Hallelujah. You can know him tangibly. They say there's a witch from the village that is troubling you. Where is the finger of God in your life? Because Jesus said, if I by the finger of God cast out devils. So devils were there in Jesus' time. And if they were that active, there was a priesthood that gave them reference. So people were practicing witchcraft in the days of Jesus. But with the finger of God, he could cast out devils. Because the witch cannot affect you, except she has a way to give commands and instructions to demons. So my problem at the end of the day is not even the witch. I can control the facility she's using to gain relevance. Meanwhile, we'll talk about that when we are ready. The forms of witchcraft, the indicators that show that the judgment that you are passing through comes from this portal. What you are supposed to do, and we use biblical. And then witches will no longer be a problem. To write an entire prayer manual and is based on to deflect witchcraft is because we don't have work. We have veered off from our assignment. So all that numerous assortment of activities are beginning to draw our attention. Let's go back to apostolic ministry. If you veer off, there are a lot of things on the periphery that you will carry. And very soon, if Paul comes and says, is this Christianity? He will think we are practicing something else. May the Lord deliver you from veered off vehicles. I know that amen won't be strong, but I pray the prayer for my. There are a lot of vehicles in motion that are veered off, and you are a passenger. And there's an usher there counting to see whether the number of people in the vehicle are complete. And in that vehicle, you are a statistic. We are supposed to be a congress, a people managing the authority of God upon the face of the earth. It's the rise of that congress that is the end of the gates of Hades. Because the only power that the devil had at his disposal before Jesus went to hell and came out was the power of death. And the gates of Hades, they have an assignment to disconnect us from the source of life. Because death is not the cessation of life, it's separation from God. So there are technologies in Hades on how to separate you from the source of your life. And if you are separated from the source of life, you become an agent, an agenda, an expression of death in his multifarious forms and patterns. The devil is hopeful that a pulpit will become apostate if he can separate the congregation from the source of life. He has a tool, a potential to explore. But he said, when the Congress rises, that the gates of the Hades will not be there. Jesus never told us of a situation where the environment will be witchcraft free. He just said the gates of the Hades that we attempt to, they will not prevail. Now,
If somebody is trying to kill you and it doesn't succeed, you are not dead now. But they won't stop trying. But the thing is that the attempts will be futile. And then maybe after 20 years of trying, they might sit and say, are we okay? This guy will not do that. That's how the gospel is preached, even to the regions of darkness. And the regions of darkness, they testify that you are in the light. In the days to come, even the enemy will testify. Okay, let's try a little. It's just that when we try now, go and rest. Rest for 1 hour. Let's come back. If we follow this man now, he's doing something here. This thing he's doing is very powerful. I told you about this now. It's a means of transport. It's a means of transport. If we glide on it. Okay, let's try. Small. The light of this your camera. I is well. The Lord will help us. In Jesus' name. Now, I think he's doing my altar. Now, wait. Let's go in here. Now, if you want to, this is the first thing you need to do. Rely on that vehicle. You know, if you are going to Lagos from Abuja in the flight, the plane will not move if you are standing. Try it. When they are on the tarmac, just remove your belt and stand up. Hey! They will stop that plane. So they will make you comfortable. Sit down, put your belt. Can you ride? Can you lean? This sound is coming from heaven. It's coming from heaven. He's playing accurately. Alright? Can you lean on it? Don't look around when there's a manifestation. Don't just wait. That's why I say we should not start this thing. Because if we start now, we wait on it. We wait on it. Lean on it. Lord, we wait. Surrender to it. See, as you're singing inside, surrender inside. And for the choir people that want to sing through the mic, don't put your mouth close to the mic. It's not your voice you want to hear. It's your spirit. Take it far away. Oh yeah, let's try it. Not too close to the mouth. We wait on you. Lord, we wait on you. We wait on you. Lord, we wait on you. Now, for those of you in the congregation, you can speak in tongues quietly, not too loud, so that you can hear your spirit. Lord, we wait on you. Not too loud. And stop looking at the preacher. The preacher cannot help you. So if you are not disciplined enough, you can close your eyes. Take the focus off the preacher. We wait on you. Lord, we wait on you.
There is an aspect of this teaching that I didn't want to enter into now. How to understand the ministry of angels based on my own personal experience and the scripture. Right now, one angel just came here. One. Listen, stay with me. Can you stay? Stay with me. Stay with me. Now, one angel just came here. This is my own personal experience, not the Bible. Now, Pastor Austin's hand. This is ring finger. When the angel comes close to me, the angel holds this my finger. This ring finger. And he begins to shake it. This is called a sign. It's a spirit-based communication. You know, we saw life-based. This one is spirit-based. So, when the angel begins to shake, I know that the angel is around, but I don't know what the angel came to do. You understand? So I find out. And if you want the volume of what you are hearing inside to be loud, you invoke worship. Worship that is accurate from heaven. And you can perceive that, yeah, it's coming from heaven. So you can now probe into that movement. And you find out. Just like I just found out now. And from what I found out, there are three intercessors that came. God came to visit. Three intercessors. And as I speak now, the Lord will begin to touch them. Three of them. Three of them. Three of them. Three of them. Holy Spirit, help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. Let it come stronger. 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 Holy Ghost. See, they are now five. Instead of three, they are five now. There are about five now, but I saw three. So it can be more, but it cannot be less. So you can sing louder now. Small oil so that I can teach. This oil now is too much. Just bring small. You are already causing problem. Now listen. Alabonatua. You are bringing to this oil now. We can't manage it. See, the angels are already too. Is that your song that called? They are already too. Now, okay, see the problem you have caused. You have caused. Hey! It's you that caused this problem. This one. Okay, it's spreading, it's spreading, it's spreading strong. There's a visitation, there's a visitation, there's a visitation, it's spreading now. It's spreading, it's spreading. God has come to put a crown upon intercessors. The day of intercessors. The day of intercessors. The spirit of supplication and intercession. Anamota. Yes, 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 yes. Nakoba Yehova. Nala Bota Ikaba Sebo Beba. Oh, Remember, we are still teaching. Now, the Lord wants to open the womb of a woman here. He wants to open the womb of a woman here. He wants to open the womb of a woman here. Yes. He's already touching the woman. There's a surgery that is going on right now. There's a surgery going on. Demons have blocked that womb, and the Lord has come and is opening that womb. He's opening the womb now. He's opening the womb now. Thank you, Lord. Now listen, I will have to be stopping you so that I can teach you. All right, there is somebody that is receiving the gift of prophecy. The person will prophesy now. In the next, at the count of seven, the spirit will hit the person. Father, one, two, three. You see? Yes, it's strong, it's heavy. It's very heavy. I said, it's heavier now. Seminar. Let the floodgates be open. Let the floodgates. Iacopende. Meprasato coparali mose ebbezeke nate kumba. Nala barata. Barra nasende zebulatoria samantana mahantale. Oh yes. Labrasata babu. Alright. The Lord says He wants to bless us. So you can ask Him for a unique blessing. He says He wants to bless. He wants to bless us. Ask Him for a unique blessing. Ask Him for His help. Ask Him for His involvement. Speak to Him now. 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 He's ready to bless His people. He's ready to bless His people. He's ready to bless His people. He's ready to reach out to us. That's why we came. That we might meet with our God and our Rock. That's why we came. That we might know Your ways. That's why we came. That's why we're here. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Now, let me tell you the story God is telling me. Amen. The Lord is saying that He's not happy. How that He raises evangelists, but they are not on the field. That's my discussion with Him now. He raises evangelists, endues evangelists, but they are not on the field. So I said, we are sorry. He said, okay. Then I saw a scepter fall from heaven. There is somebody here. The anointing will come on you so strong. Now, ushers, get ready. Because the person I'm talking about is going to carry the mantle of an evangelist. How God is saying, stay on the field. Stay on the field. Father, from my left hand side to my right hand side, help me find the evangelist. Help me find the evangelist. Ushers, if you help me find the evangelist. Help me find the evangelist. Help me find him. Help me find her. Okay, it's coming stronger now. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. Ushers, bring them for me. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. It's coming. Stay on the field. Ushers, I just need to touch them. I just need to touch them. Yakuliata bomba. Presco valatuse na hila brade. Stay on the field. Stay on the field. Stay. 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 Stay on the field. Stay. Yes, yes. It's a strong one. It's a strong one. It's a strong one. Stay on the field. Stay on the field. Stay on the field. Let there be confirmation. 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 Stay on the field. Stay, stay, stay on the field. 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 Now listen, 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 listen. Stay on the field. Stay on the field. Stay, stay on the field. Let there be confirmation in the name of Jesus. I'm seeing two crowns from heaven, and the Lord is telling me that there are two prophets. He wants to step up. You have been interceding quietly. Interceding quietly. Two prophets. Lord, in the name of Jesus, anywhere the prophets are, this is their day of impartation. So I ask, Holy Spirit, anywhere they are in this hall, help me find them. 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 It is so that you can be coronated. So that you can be confident in that which God is doing in your life. Kima monta ele kaskim. Alamabe kasantori amamaratas. Aya baba latamina kadi. Ayata kon de presta zamahan. Ayata kon de presta celibato. Akamba lasta maria saria maria saria marato tonu. Akaba latadeso. Manto mahalabato. Glory to your name. Is calling you, oh God. My heart is calling you, oh God. My heart is calling you.